passe pas when the buzzer. Blah, blah, blah when the wheel.
It's The Takeaway on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. The year is 1968. Judy Garland's in a London hotel with her young fiancé, about to be husband number five, preparing for a comeback with a series of concerts. She's broke, drunk, and on the brink of disaster. That's the center of the play End of the Rainbow, one of the attractions on Broadway this season. And here with us, once again, our theater critics, Elizabeth Fincentelli of the New York Post and Scott Brown of New York Magazine. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hi.
So End of the Rainbow tells the story of Judy Garland kind of in decline. Most of the Judy Garland performances that you've seen in the last couple of years is kind of a drag performance where they do impersonations. What's different about this production?
What's interesting about the show is that it's a performance by Tracy Bennett, who plays Judy Garland, that really makes you uncomfortable. You're thinking, she's going too far. This is really tacky. It's crass. It's too much. It's ridiculous. She's off. But you keep thinking about it, and that's very different from the kind of safe cookie cutter, like very technically good stuff that you see on Broadway. This one is just kind of bizarre. I really liked it for that.
It is bizarre, and it is, you know, over the top, and that is part of what it's doing. I just think it's what's under the over-the-topness that I think is lacking. I mean, it's a weak play. It's one of these sort of like, you know, Wikipedia bio plays.
No, I agree that the play itself is not very good, but it's not a show you're not going to go see that for the sparkling writing. One other thing that the show does very well is that it really makes you understand how funny Judy Garland was.
Lucille Ball said about her, didn't she? Said Judy Garland makes me look like a mortician or something.
She was incredible, famous, and we don't really know that about her. And I think the show really gives a good idea of that. But it was like a really black. It was like a cup of really bitter black coffee. That sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that what Bennett's doing up there is really searing. I just don't know if it connects to anything. I feel like it was almost like a clowning routine. She's just bouncing off the walls and she's like punching through the fabric of reality in a way that's very, very memorable. I just don't know what it all meant.
Let's move on to Lions. Now, this is a play that started off Broadway. It stars Linda Lavin. Her husband is dying. The family is falling apart. I saw this show off Broadway, and critics have been raving about it. What do you both say about it?
I really loved it. We're only talking about shows that I really liked. I like everything.
Throw another one in that you don't.
And we've only seen it off Broadway too, right? I don't think I have not personally seen it on Broadway yet.
No, but it's the exact same production, the same cast.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. I think a lot of people I remember off Broadway really didn't like the second act. The second act, there's a kind of, the play takes a very sharp turn after intermission. And I really liked it. I liked the fact that we come back and we're like, why are they doing? Who is this guy? Why are we paying attention to this guy now? Like, what happened to, you know? I really like that. It's a kind of it's a daring choice from the playwright Nikki Silver and of course Linda Lavin, who, you know, I worship the ground she walks on. So
no, I agree.
Completely
with you.
Biased there.
I also liked it a whole lot, and I think it's good to see Nikki Silver finally on Broadway and sort of getting the respect that he deserves as kind of an heir to the legacy of Edward Albee. I agree with you. It's a sharp turn when it starts to kind of track with the son character, the Michael Esper character, and what he's going through. But they pull it off, and Michael Esper, I think, is just fantastic.
We're seeing lots of off-Broadway shows coming to Broadway, plays, that is. It's not a new trend, but Elizabeth, you say that often the entire cast move to the Broadway show?
Yes, sometimes. I mean,
in
the
past... Is this a trend?
I don't know. There seems to be... It could be just a coincidence. I don't think anything on Broadway or off is just really, there's no strategy of like, we're going to have a lot of transfer this year. But this year, I mean, other Desert City transfer, like except with one replacement in the cast. Actually, that was typical. They kind of brought in a TV star to the cast. But
and gave up Linda Lavin so she could be in the Lions, actually.
Exactly. Yes. But Peter and the Starcatcher is transferring, once transferred also. Clyburn Park, actually, that took 2 years.
Right.
With a Pulitzer Prize in between, but it's the exact same cast.
And
some behind-the-scenes drama. They lost a producer. Another one came in. But the production is pretty much the same, from what I understand. It's the same cast in any case. The Lions also, it's transferring intact. And there's good and bad about that.
Are there any shows that don't transfer that well, that come from off-Broadway to Broadway?
Well, I would say the resounding failure of Lizzie Strata Jones, a show that I championed against...
Actually, I think you did that right
laughter,
here.
Much to the laughter of all that you can just hear.
I was chuckling. That wasn't laughter. But you'll know when it's laughter.
No, that was a terrible mistake.
It was a great show for a gym. It was originally performed in a theater that is also a gymnasium, and it was a great show to do in a gymnasium. It was a delightful little summer diversion. You've seen this a couple of times. The producers very quickly made this jump to Broadway. They see an open theater. They think, okay, let's give it a shot. And you want to encourage that kind of behavior, but occasionally, you know, you see that sort of thing. You want to see the system working. I mean, you want to see things, you know, kind of tested out.
Although at the same time, I think it would be a mistake for people of Broadway to think that Broadway is the ultimate goal. Sometimes it's not. It's two different things, and things have a place off Broadway, and they should stay there.
Okay, to wrap up, let's talk Tonys for a second. Some of the shows that will be considered for nominations have yet to open, but they're in previews. I guess the nominations are announced May 1st. What's the big battle, do you think, this year?
For play, I would think Other Desert Cities is a big favorite.
It's going to be that versus Clyburn Park, probably, and that'll be quite a matchup. And then you got Seminar and Chinglish and things like that, kind of.
Which are pretty much behind. Like, I think it'll be a clash of the titans between Other Desert Cities and
Clyburn Park. Yeah.
Okay. Scott Brown of New York Magazine, Elizabeth Vincentelli of the New York Post. We have more on our website. Click on culture at WNYC.org. Scott and Elizabeth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You found me just in time.